Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
It's Alphonse Rawls. Keep tuned here. You're in the right spot. You're listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh. All right?
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the rebels who are shaping our culture. I'm your host, Josh Levine. This week, I'm talking to Alphonso Rawls. You might know Alphonso if you're a fan of skateboarding. He spent many years as a pro skater, riding for folks like Airwalk, Etnies, Drawers, a lot of the great brands. And for as long as he's been skating, he's been designing skate shoes for a lot of those same brands. He was the head of footwear design at DC Shoes, where he designed the Court, which was their top-selling design of all time. Today, he's the founder of Everybody Skates, which is a skate brand that integrates pop culture into its designs. And he's also recently just launched Savali, which is a luxury shoe brand influenced by skate. He's making luxury shoes that you could actually skate in. We have a great conversation. We get into some detail about shoe design. Definitely taught me some things I didn't know. And especially, you know, we talk about the role that culture plays in design, even for a sports product. Really interesting conversation there. And he gives us some insight into how he's thinking about customer experience and building in transparency and basically allowing his customers to participate in the creative process with him, which I think is relevant to so many brands. Whatever you're doing, you probably can benefit from that kind of thinking. So let's get into it with Alphonso Rawls. Seems like you're busy though. You got all kinds of good things happening. Always busy, man. Busy's good. Busy's a good thing. Always busy, between my footwear ventures and just my apparel, Everybody Skates. There's always something to do in a day. Trying to squeeze 25 hours out of the day. You know? That's what's up. Nice. Well, I'm excited to dig into it with you. I know we got connected through Matt over at The Drop. And shout out to Matt. You know, we had him on the show a few weeks ago. And and you know, he said really good things about you. So I'm excited to dig into the story with you. I always have a weird question I like to start with, but do you remember the first record you ever bought for yourself? Do I remember the first record that I ever bought for myself? Probably more of a tape than a record. Let me see. I don't, but I would have to imagine it was something to do with breakdancing. Maybe it was the Beat Street soundtrack or some shit like this. Yeah. As far as the eye are able to see, I never knew art till I saw your face, that there'll never be one to take your place. Cause each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands, then serenades. Is that right? Were you a breaker? Yeah. That's what I was doing. I was breakdancing and BMXing before I started skateboarding. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's funny. I mean, it's funny, you know, obviously thinking back to that time, right, when, I mean, skating was really just kind of becoming a thing, But right. kids, you know, we were at lunchtime every day, you know, standing in a circle breaking or watching mm-hmm. breakers or, you know, like that was, you know, that was everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
So funny.
Yeah. I remember seeing it for the first time on one of these tabloid magazine shows. I think it might have been Entertainment Tonight or PM Magazine. I don't know. I might be dating myself a little bit. And I saw these kids like breakdancing in New York, and it might have been like it might have been the Rocksteady Crew or something like this. And it was just so fascinating at that time. You know what I mean? Being that age, looking for something to do, looking for something to be a part of. And we saw, you know, I saw that. And apparently a few of my friends, you know, around the neighborhood had saw it too.
Yeah.
And it just built after that pretty quickly, you know, before too long, all my buddies were breakdancing.
I mean, it's what we don't think about it now, but I, you know, I think breaking had such a big thing to do with spreading hip hop, right?
Oh, that, absolutely.
That, you know, it was something everybody could do or could try. And, you know, I remember the same thing. We went to my buddy and I went to the Fresh Fest, in Oakland. We lived in San Francisco, but we took the BART over to Oakland, and it was like, you know, Run DMC, the Fat Boys, Curtis Blow, I forget who else. And, you know, we walked into the Oakland Coliseum. It was like, I don't know, 30,000 kids all breaking. And I was like, you know, I thought it was just my school or, you know, I didn't realize like the impact that it was having everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Beyond your own scene. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So, so that was before skating. How'd you get on the board at first?
So I was killing some time, local schoolyard that I attended, Libby Elementary School in Oceanside, playing basketball with a couple of friends and everything. And, along comes three skateboarders skating onto the campus, and they were just kind of cruising around, having a good time. They just stopped us, in our tracks, because before that, I identified skateboarding the same way as you would a yo-yo or whatever, but these guys were kind of cruising and doing tricks and ollies and stuff like that. So it kind of stopped us on the basketball court on our tracks, and we're just, you know, stopped to watch, see what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And they were ollieing and everything like that. And so after a while of watching these guys skateboard, I had asked one of the guys if I could borrow their skateboard, and he let me ride it, and I was riding for like a half hour and fell in love with it right away.
Nice.
It turns out that guy was ex Bones Brigade team rider for Paul Peralta, named Adrian Demain. And needless to say, that day changed my life. I mean, that helped me to identify, you know, what I wanted to do, and in a serious way too, because not only was what they're doing fun, but the energy, mm-hmm. You know, of the way that they presented it, you know, it was just so appealing, you know, especially to a 12-year-old kid, you know.
Sure. So you say that it changed your life. Did you realize it that day, or is that more looking back that, you know, that's where it all started?
Well, it's kind of more or less looking back, but that day I knew it was something that I seriously wanted to, you know, partake in. Yeah. And it was shortly after that, after kind of investigating what skateboarding was, is when I found out that skateboarding was more, that's when I discovered the culture of skateboarding beyond just the activity of skateboarding.
Sure.
And I was informed, I was really informed of the culture of skateboarding through the Bones Brigade video show, which was one of the first skateboard videos I watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so before then, skateboarding existed in my mind as kind of an activity, something that you did. Mm-hmm. But then after seeing that, I really identified like, oh, wow, skateboarding is a culture. It's a lifestyle. It's not just what you do. It's who you are. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
Those helped inform me what skateboarding and skate court culture was back in the early days.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to talk about that now, right? Because, you know, we come from these subcultures, right? These underground cultures of, you know, hip hop and skateboarding and streetwear and these things that, like, now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And but you know, if I can remind everybody listening, like, you know, back in that time, right? Like, you know, you probably didn't know anybody who was a skater, or like if you weren't one yourself, you probably, you know, I know for me in San Francisco, like skating, you know, was, you know, it was a punk rock thing. It was it was a metal thing. It was like definitely, I mean, you know, later I met, you know, Tommy Guerrero and cats that were, you know, probably a little bit more aligned with what I was into, but at the time it was like very white, very like, you know, dirty skater kid.
Naturally, because it was an offshoot of surfing, right?
Right.
It was quote unquote sidewalk surfing.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, it was so like far removed, I guess, from what we would consider mainstream culture. And now it's like pretty much the opposite.
Right. Yeah. It is a melting pot these days.
So back to the story, at what point did you realize or decide that this was going to be your career path?
I didn't even really know that there was a career path. Like I said, it started off as something in an activity that I enjoyed doing. And then I was kind of informed of the culture of skateboarding, through, you know, watching videos. And after that, you know, I started kind of investigating the culture a little more, you know, more videos and magazines and stuff like that. And I just kind of kept on progressing at it. I wasn't really thinking of a career path per se at that point. Didn't really need to, lived at home, you know, and it was just something that, you know, it captivated me in regards to, I looked at skateboarding almost kind of like a blank canvas too, as far as the activity of it. And it just, me being a creative person, it felt like it left me so much blank canvas to explore, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really think about it in terms of, becoming anything. I didn't really know that there was something to become. I didn't know that there, you know, Tony Hawk, you know, I was kind of, I guess I was probably under the impression somewhat that these guys had side jobs or just whatever, you know? So, I kind of more or less figured it out probably a year or two along once I started kind of understanding the dynamic of, you know, okay, I'm buying skateboard decks. These skateboard decks have names on them. Right. You know, who are these names? And, you know, they must be making money because their names, you know, whatever. So once that stuff started kind of, you know, clicking, I understood that there was a living to be made. But more than anything, like I said, I was focused on just skateboarding, the activity of skateboarding and becoming, a good skateboarder and, you know, being a part of the scene and stuff like that. And just through that, I was able to get sponsored and really get to discovering that, oh, wow, this can actually be something. Because at that time, it was still growing again. You know what I mean? It was, by the time that I turned pro, skateboarding was kind of in it was starting to kind of trend down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
What year was that?
This was 90.
Okay.
1990. And we were still actually making a decent living back then compared to some of what's going on now. But that it wasn't, we weren't really, that wasn't initially what was appealing to me. You know what I mean?
Right. Sure.
And yeah, early on, like when I was really getting into it, my early days, I didn't really understand. That didn't really click that it was a living, you know, to be made from skateboarding. I was just enjoying.
So when you say myself. it was trending down, remind me what was going on at that time?
So, I mean, you know, skateboarding is kind of fluctuating in stages, right? And I mean, there'll be tons of participants and then, you know, it will kind of, you know, shrink down every so often. And by the time that I turned pro, it was kind of on a downward trend. Mm-hmm. You know, less kids were skateboarding or whatever. And then there was a boom again in the mid 90s or whatnot, you know? And I mean, I would dare to say there's a huge boom in skateboarding right now due to the fact that there's so many, you know, so many places to skate.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, and I wonder, you know, if those ebbs and flows are important to building a culture, right? I remember, you know, back to, we're talking about breakdancing. I remember, like, you know, that became such a fad, right? That was on the news all the time, and here was hip hop was still this very young, very new culture, right? And you know, I remember they were talking about like, oh, it's, you know, it's dying out or whatever, and then it came back bigger than ever, right? And I wonder if that's an important part of how a culture develops, is those ups and downs.
I would imagine so. I would imagine that during the lulls. I mean, that's kind of when you get the, you know, that that's when it weeds out the people that weren't really, you know, dedicated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As the ones that stick around, you know, to the next growth cycles.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe even work harder. Right.
Right.
If things aren't coming as easily. And so were you always designing at the same time, or when did that start?
I was always designing. Designing for me actually started before skateboarding, and me, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, get sponsored and, you know, represent brands gave my art a platform to shine. I was already doing it, but, you know, getting sponsored by these different companies, you know, allowed me to participate in some of the creative process. And, you know, it gave me a platform for my art, and I was able to do, you know, board graphics and contribute, you know, like to the creative process of, you know, apparel designs for the, you know, the clothing sponsors that I had and stuff like that, and help to lay out ads. And so I was always, you know, creating and designing, but skateboarding gave me, you know, gave me a platform to really, you know, showcase it.
Sure. So were you were already thinking that art and design was going to be your career?
Yeah, like I imagine so. I don't think I was really too career oriented back in this day. You know, I wasn't really kind of thinking about it. But I guess, you know, I was imagining that I wanted to do something, you know, creative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Kind of probably was at a loss at that point, and really lucky that skateboarding came along, you know what I mean? And it allowed me to utilize, you know, those assets in a way that, you know, that was meaningful to a quote unquote career, you know what I mean? That I didn't really identify initially.
Yeah, fair enough.
I was just more or less kind of, you know, following a passion, you know what I mean? Even when I got into skateboarding, I was designing, you know, skateboard decks or contributing to, you know, apparel designs and stuff like that. It was just me more or less following my passions, you know, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And, you know, from there it had evolved into, other opportunities that I was able to apply.
Yeah.
To.
Nice. So when we look at the stuff you're doing now with Everybody Skates and, Savali, am I saying it right? Savali?
Yeah. Savali.
Okay. There's a very, you know, I think your design approach, your aesthetic is very clear. And we can see it now. So tell me about how that has evolved and sort of how did that take shape?
Well, I mean, with Everybody Skates, I mean, it's two different things. Yeah. With Everybody Skates, it was just me. When I first got onto social media, my idea there was just to kind of showcase some of my footwear design work and kind of answer the question as to, oh, what has Alfonso Rawls been up to? You know what I mean? Since being heavy and active into skateboarding, in professional skateboarding. And so my idea on getting onto social media was just to, you know, showcase that. And then once my friends, I had some close friends got onto social media, we just started kind of utilizing that platform to kind of clown each other back and forth, almost like, you know, class clowns or whatnot. And we just started kind of creating memes and then posting memes of each other and photoshopping each other or whatever. And so Everybody Skates was created because I called one of my friends Fat Bastard. This is one of the, I had a group of friends. We were just kind of going back and forth, kind of creating memes to clown each other. Mm-hmm. And so I started calling my friend Fat Bastard, went on to find a picture of Fat Bastard on the internet. And he had his body in a position that sparked something in my mind. I was like, wow, I bet you I could put I could dub him onto a bottom half of somebody skateboarding and it would look pretty natural. And so I found a picture of somebody board sliding a handrail and dubbed him on top of that, and then had posted it with a caption that kind of referenced my friend, you know what I mean, Vinny Ponte. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, here, you know, something to the effect of, you know, despite gaining all this weight, Vinny Ponte still has it, or something like this or whatever. And so it seemed like my audience was really amused by that.
Yeah.
And I started coming up with different ideas, and then it became a thing. Initially, like I said, without the idea of it ever being a brand, it was just something that, you know, it was a creative expression that I was you know, I was just utilizing to, you know, clown my friends and, sure. you know, kind of have a good joke or whatever. But then after a while of doing that, it took on a life of itself. I started noticing that other people were posting it, and I would get a lot of requests for people saying, yo, you got to make stickers with that on there. Or, what are you doing with this? Do you guys make shirts or whatever? So after ignoring that for quite a bit of time, I got to a point where I'm like, man, let me go ahead and print a few, you know, mm-hmm. if for nothing else, I'll have some cool shirts to rock or whatever. So I printed a run to supply the demand, on social media. And, that went really well. So well, in fact, that it got the attention of Supreme in LA, and they wanted to carry some of the shirts. And mm-hmm. so by the time I knew it, I was like, wow, I kind of have something here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I just kind of started, you know, pursuing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, Everybody Skates is much more than a brand. I think people associate Everybody Skates with me as Everybody Skates being kind of my artist project. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So, you know, before that, right, you were designing for, you know, so many of the different skate brands.
Right.
You know, I know DC and Circa and Osiris and mm-hmm. a long list.
Right.
What was that? What stands out from that experience? What did you learn from working with those guys that has helped you now with your own companies?
Quite a bit. So, you know, when you reference DC and Circa and some of the brands that I designed for, these are shoe companies that I designed for. I got into footwear design through an opportunity in 1996 when I was approached by an upstart footwear brand that wanted to give me a deal where they would give me a signature model shoe
mm-hmm.
and give me the opportunity to design that shoe. And just during the process, I just fell in love with the process of doing that. And in that process, I ended up creating six different styles of shoes that were implemented into the line.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I presented 10 shoes mm-hmm. because I was just like, oh wow, I have to create one shoe that exemplifies me and everything that I like. But it's like, I love shoes. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm in a million different directions. I mean, it could look, you know, this could be dope. This could be dope. So at the end of the day, I submit 10 designs, out of which I got my pro model and, you know, five other designs that was implemented in the line. So it was really, you know, that really thrilled me and, you know, falling in love with the process.
Sure.
And I just kind of kept with it. And then began getting other offer. I got another offer from, another footwear brand after my contract was up with the initial brand. And that's kind of when I really went from just kind of having a creative idea of what, you know, what I wanted to present.
Mm-hmm.
To really learning the process, because they gave me the opportunity to actually take the development, you know, the development trips to the factory to really understand what was going on, to really see the process.
Oh, nice.
And so that company was Duff's. And so from there, I caught the attention of DC Shoes and started designing, you know, stuff for DC Shoes.
You know, I started Rebel Radio because I wanted to explore how people build meaningful careers in creativity and culture. And I do a lot of mentoring, coaching, trying to pass on what I've learned from my own experiences, as well as some of the stories I hear on this show. And it's one of my favorite things to do, to help people who are starting out in their careers or maybe further along in their careers and getting stuck. I think it helps me, it helps them. So I'm excited to announce a new segment we'll be doing on the Stereo app. Make sure you follow us at stereo.com/rebelradionet. Download the app. Get into these conversations with us. We're going to be doing live coaching and mentoring sessions from not only myself, but a lot of the guests we've had on this show. People who know what they're doing. They've been through it. They've made the mistakes. They are constantly challenging themselves to get better, and it's an opportunity for you to not just listen to what they have to say, but to join in, ask questions, make comments. It's kind of a compliment to Rebel Radio, but where you get to participate. Stereo.com/rebelradionet. Check it out now.
All When you asked me what I learned through all these different products, I learned a lot from every different brand, you know what I mean, that I worked with, because every brand works differently. Mm-hmm. And being afforded the opportunity to, you know, to go from Castell to Duff's to DC, and DC kind of really being the huge launching pad of me being able to design independently for, you know, tons of different brands. There was a lot of learning throughout the whole process and all the different brands of how things operated.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm a big sponge, you know, throughout this whole thing. And, yeah. I'm always kind of consistently, learning.
You know, you said something about, coming up with 10 designs, right? And,
yeah.
You know, and I always think about that. Like, I think when, you know, creatives, like you want to have that one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And whether it's a, you know, a clothing design or a song or an ad campaign or whatever it is, you always want to have like, here's the thing that I made, yeah, to share with you, right? And you know, but I think that's you know, that's a different kind of pressure, mm-hmm, than exploring 10 different designs where you can you, right, know, dial up one thing over here and something else over there. And I feel like that is so important to the creative process that is sometimes, mm-hmm, missed, right? Mm-hmm. Is this, even now, you know, if we think about music, right? Like people are shifting from albums to just the song. And, yeah, you know, you either like the song or you don't, right? Instead of like, well, you have your favorite song on the album and I have my favorite song, but we're both enjoying the same album. Right. And that's kind of, you know, I think that's such an important part of creativity is being able to, mm-hmm, to explore these different things.
For sure.
Yeah. So tell me about now launching your own brands. How'd you go? What was the decision from designing for other people to start in your own?
Yeah. So when I was presented with the opportunity of designing my own line of shoes, you know what I mean, I started kind of reflecting on my design history and, you know, trying to identify what it is that I wanted to present out of my own brand. And, you know, understanding, you know, the process and designing for different footwear categories, my favorite projects were always the ones that gave me the creative freedom to kind of explore whatever I wanted. So what I wanted to do when I was creating Savali was to give myself a creative platform where I can kind of explore with no boundaries. And so I chose to do a luxury footwear brand as opposed to a skate footwear brand or, you know, whatever category that limits my creativity. Because if I'm doing a skate footwear brand, let's say, it's like I'm expected to make shoes that fall under that category.
Right.
But if I'm creating a luxury footwear brand, you know, my only parameters is creating when you're designing luxury footwear, it's like you are designing with the end goal of creating the best shoe that you possibly can, mm-hmm, in mind, mm-hmm, to start with. You know what I mean? No limitations of categories, no limitations of materials or whatever. So my idea to establish a luxury footwear brand was to give me the creative freedom to be as creative as I wanted. So if I wanted to design a boot, mm-hmm, style shoe, I can do that,
sure,
without people saying, oh, you can't skate in that, or that's, right, not a skate shoe.
Yeah.
Which in all actuality, this is a great skate shoe, by the way, but you wouldn't identify this as a skate shoe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or if I wanted to design something that was probably a little bit more inspired by skate, but, mm-hmm, had some other, you know, other elements to it that gave it its own personality, I'm free to do so. And so, you know, the idea behind, yep, Savali was just to create the best shoes through my creative lens and through my 25 years of experience of designing footwear for tons of different categories.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It was somewhat selfish in a way, but at the same time, I felt like there was a niche to be, a void to be filled in what I was establishing. And not only that, it's you know, luxury, mm-hmm, but it's really limited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of what we do really has a small brand, you know, feel to it. You know what I'm saying? And,
what's an example of that?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's like the stuff that we do is like really limited. They're like all of our runs will be no more than, a couple of hundred, pairs of shoes. You know what I'm saying? And and in addition to that, it's like the way that we're choosing to, like, the brand's really new. It's 2 months old, but the way that we're choosing to market the brand is we're taking more of a personal approach to the brand. It's like I'm actually the voice of the brand. You know what I'm saying? It's like and through that, we're really kind of sharing with the audience the process, you know, behind the brand. You know what I mean? So when you think of Savali, there's actually an emotion that you can kind of attach to it, you know what I mean? And I'm sharing with the audience, you know, I have plans to share the creative process, share with them the things that go well and the things that don't go well. Like I just got these samples back and they didn't turn out exactly like, you know, like I wanted it. But, you know, through this mistake, whatever made through the factory, I discovered that this looks cool. And, you know what I mean? And just, you know, I think that what happens is I think that everyone gets so caught up in their day-to-day living that, you know, a lot of people don't end up really pursuing their own dreams and goals. And those people really have a strong urge to kind of live vicariously through other people that are doing it. And they're always curious about, like, you know, about the creative process or starting their own brand, what that entails, the things that go right, the things that go wrong or whatever. And so I feel like that is a really interesting way to present a brand that is much less about marketing than it is about kind of sharing, you know, sharing and kind of feeding some of the curiosities of just even your average person, even if it's just not a footwear designer, to get them to fall in love with your brand, because there's a more personal element to the way that you present your brand. You know what I mean? Is a big part of how we want to operate. And I think that that is a real awesome small brand feel that some of the bigger brands can't really execute on. You know what I mean? A lot of the bigger brands don't really, to me, feel personable. You know what I mean? Right. There's not nobody that invokes that, you know, that like it being a personal thing, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's kind of what we're, that's a part of what we're bringing to the footwear space.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that gets harder the bigger you get, right? And you know, most companies are focused on growth. You know, there's an argument to staying small and great, but that's not usually the path we take, right? We want to show, you know, continuous quarters of growth and then sell the business and move on, do something else, whatever. So I wonder.
I want to engage our audience as well, though. Kind of make them feel a part of a process. You know, I mean, when we talk about what, you know, what big brands, the disconnect between some of the big brands. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I want to engage the audience and kind of ask them, hey, what do you think about this shoe with the toe cap, without the toe cap?
Right.
I want to hear from you guys. You know what I mean? Let's shape this thing together. So I mean, you know, that those are some of the elements and the qualities that I want to, you know, those are some of the voids I feel like are out there that, you know, Savali will feel real well.
So do you think that's something you can do now when you're relatively small, or are you anticipating a time when you get too big to be that personal, or are you thinking about how to continue that as you grow?
Well, I feel like this. I feel like if you make it too big of a thing in your head, like a too big of a production, then it is, you know what I mean? But it's probably not too hard for me to really kind of, you know, come up with, you know, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minute, you know, worth of content once or a few times a week to kind of check in with my audience and be like, hey guys, this is what's going on. Here's the projects that I'm working on, you know, or here's a sample that came back. Here's, you know, share with them the creative process and get some input and suggestions from them in regards to kind of what they think about it. How would they see it improve? And maybe even, you know, and this is something I thought the other night, with maybe would be, as a matter of kind of engaging the audience, maybe it would be cool to even hold the fucking design contest. You know what I mean? Where, hey, you know, for the next, you know, couple of weeks, submit some of your designs. I always get DMs of people kind of curious about footwear design. Like, how did I get into it? How do you get into it? Like, you know, how do you do this? So it's like, I think that there's people, and there's probably really awesome footwear designers out there that just don't know how to even get started. So maybe, you know, give them an opportunity to shine, you know, as well. So I have, you know, we have a few different things in mind that we want to implement to kind of really, you know, I mean, give that personable feel to what, you know, to what we're doing.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I mean, you talk about DC, right? And, you know, we both know so many people that came out of there or worked for those guys at one point. And I think that's part of what made them such a great company is that they recognize talent, you know, and right. they recognize you, right? And they recognize, you know, all these people that contributed to what they were building. And that's like, that's probably important to balance along with, you know, giving your own voice into the brand.
Right.
What you said something about the first shoe. What makes a great skate shoe?
What makes a great skate shoe? Well, I mean, I think different skaters have different needs, right? You know, depending on the different types of skateboarding that you do. But I can express to you maybe some of the key elements that some skateboarders are looking for. And from there, depending on what your style of skateboarding, your combination of what you're looking for is going to be a little bit different. But as a general rule of thumb here, let me use this shoe as kind of an example. As a general rule of thumbs, I'm going to point out some of the features of what makes a skate shoe. General rule of thumb, your high wear area is probably going to be, sure. If you took an imaginary line down the middle yep. of the shoe, and down the middle of this shoe, this whole quarter right here, that's like the danger zone. So what makes a good skate shoe is taking that into consideration and knowing that the materials and the design that you apply in this area is going to be conducive to durability and not, you know, picking your frame or anything like that. Another thing is heel impact. There's a lot of heel bruises. And for skateboarders that like to jump off of big stairs and stuff like that,
right.
The impact on your heel is kind of crazy, and heel bruises don't heal that fast.
Sure.
Right. And so you're going to want some kind of impact resistant technology, whether it's a midsole. Airbags, I tend to think, don't work well, especially when it comes to skate shoes, because aesthetically, in order to have a airbag work well enough, it has to be thick enough. And a lot of skate shoe airbags that you've seen in the past, hate to break the news to you, they were already bottomed out. Right. You know what I'm saying? Sure, so it's like it was almost harder. The plastic that they used was almost harder than the air, because since it was already kind of bottomed out.
Okay.
So that didn't work. That didn't work too well. What I like to do is I like to mess with the durometers of the EVA or the midsole. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And figure out the different durometers that make for better impact. The other thing too is, see, this shoe is a perfect example of it, is lateral stability, right? You know what I mean? When you're going at fast rates of speed and you're trying to stop yourself sideways, whether you're jumping off your board or whatever, it's like you're going to want that lateral stability. And this, you know, lateral stabilizer helps to do that. You're going to want something that holds onto your foot well, right? So, you know, with that said, you're probably going to want something that's kind of you know, some skateboarders like high tops, but some skateboarders find high tops to be restrictive. But maybe something with a happy medium that kind of stays on your foot well. In addition to that, like, you know, like I said, the you know, taking in consideration the wear area that I explained being this zone right here, you're gonna want to keep in mind that when you're doing ollies, and so to explain why this is the high wear area. Is with skateboarding, you know, the basis of every trick is the ollie. And how you do that is you're lifting up the board with this part of your foot, and it's coming in contact with the grip tape. So you're basically, you know, repeatedly sanding this area. And then what also happens during that process is you rip your laces.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to keep that in mind as well. And there's a couple of different ways to address that. You could either have the lacing start, you know, farther up to where it's a little more out of the danger zone, or in the case of this shoe, I know that you don't see it, but this flap right here acts as a secondary optional layer that you could actually lace behind. And so if you lace behind you have a flap kind of covering that. In addition to that, some of the key features is, you know, is the traction pattern on the bottom of your shoe. You're going to need some good traction pattern in order to, you know, maintain your grip on a skateboard deck. And so that's kind of another part of it. And then also, you know, you want something that's conducive to a good board feel. You want to be able to feel your board, you know what I mean? So you don't want the midsole stuff too thick.
Sure.
I would say, yeah, those are probably some of the main key elements to, you know, to be mindful of when designing a great skate shoe. But, you know,
I mean, like that's deep, man. That's a lot.
Right. But some people, but here's the thing though, too. It's like when you're trying to appeal to a group of young, edgy kids that are hip, you know, to fashion and stuff like that. I almost dare to say that the aesthetics is going to be the first and foremost, because everything that I just pointed out to you right there, you know, right there, don't mean shit if the kid doesn't pick up the shoe. You know what I mean? Even so much so that it's like, I feel like with skateboarding's ankle injuries and stuff like that, you would imagine that high tops would be more of the prominent, you know, shoe of choice for skateboarding, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, almost to the contrary, it's like most, you know, skaters, you know, ride really, really low top shoes, and mm-hmm. they're not really laced on too well onto their shoe, you know, onto their foot. And, you know, a lot of the, you know, the skateboarders that are kind of like casually doing, you know, flat ground stuff like that really like a thin, vulcanized, sole, which doesn't offer too much, you know, heel absorption, whatever.
Well, I think it goes back to what you're saying at the beginning, right? That like, you know, for a lot of kids, what brings you into skating is the emotion of it, right? It's who introduces you and how you learn about it in your life. And, you know, if you're my age, like everybody you knew skating was wearing Van slip-ons or was wearing Chucks or was wearing, you know, stuff that's not made for, you know, it has none of what you're talking about. Right.
Right.
But you don't care because the aesthetic, you know, you're trying to tap into that emotion or you're trying to be part of that culture. And,
yeah, there's such an aesthetic element to skateboarding for sure.
Sure. I mean, the uniform, you know, the uniform signals whether you're in the culture or you're not. Right. And you could skateboard literally in anything, maybe mm-hmm. some better than others, but certain things tell the world that you're a skater and some don't. So people are going to gravitate to that. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I read something you said, in one interview about setting small goals and achieving them. And I think you were mm-hmm. talking about learning tricks. So how does that apply in your business now? What's an example of those kind of small goals that you set for yourself?
I mean, there's like in the case of, let's say, everybody skates. I mean, the first goal, you know, when I identified that it was something that people wanted, it was just basically to see if I could sell some shirts. Mm-hmm. Right. And from there, you know, I identified like, wow, okay, this is actually kind of becoming a business. And so then, you know, the next goal was like, okay, how do I expand, you know, what I'm doing? And then, you know, getting into Supreme and, you know, that was another goal.
Sure.
From there, it was, you know, the other goals was just, okay, so how do I maintain my consistency? You know what I mean? How do I make sure that I'm ahead of the curve? And this isn't just a, you know, a flash in the pan, like, you know what I mean? And so, you know, the goal then becomes like, okay, I got to stay ahead of the curve, but I got to establish, you know, three designs, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? At a time. So then I can always have somewhat of a runway. Some of the baby goals, baby steps for Savali, for instance, you know, was just to, It's a matter of seeing how much acceptance, I guess, you can kind of get, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, people know me as a designer and all these different things, but like how does that apply when I go to do my own project and how do I think my way through telling a story that's going to be compelling enough, you know what I mean? And then creating the right designs that align, you know, with the narrative, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of all over the place, but I have like little mini goals with starting the brand with, you know, the first was kind of initiating the fine little details. Okay. How are we going to present the brand? Like what are the designs that represent the brand? I have a business partner that I work with by the name of James that I bounce all these different ideas, deals with. And our miniature goals initially was to kind of identify the designs that work with that, and then put it out there and see what the input was to that, and then make whatever adjustments need to be made.
Sure.
And then continuing to learn how to expand our audience and understanding more of the marketing side, to what we're doing. Being that it's a two-man team, there's a lot of things to kind of take on.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of set these little incremental steps to kind of, it's not really kind of steps, I guess you would say. This is just kind of understanding the landscape of what you're kind of getting into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Thinking about marketing and branding, right? So you kind of have three brands. You have, yourself as a skater, or a ex pro skater. Mm-hmm. You have Everybody Skates. You have Savali. What was the decision to create these separate brands as opposed to having everything kind of just live under your name?
I have my three businesses are actually Alfonso Rawls Designs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being that I do design work for different brands, sure. Whether it's product designs or graphic designs. I have Everybody Skates, and then I have Savali. They kind of all started, Alfonso or Everybody Skates is a DBA under Alfonso Rawls Design. So it's essentially the same, it's under the same business, but it's, they're different from the sense. It's like I provide services, a service as Alfonso Rawls Designs. Right. And I have basically a t-shirt line with Everybody Skates.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, that has kind of a different feel to it. And this, there's a consistent little, brand ethos that I apply to that. That's different than, me soliciting for work or whatever, doing design work. And then I was approached by a different entity, to partner up and do Savali. So that quite naturally was kind of positioned, differently as well. And I utilize my resources in which, Everybody Skates and Alfonso Rawls, my personal handles to promote Savali, because that's a newer brand, right?
Sure.
They all operate pretty individually. I mean, the brand vibe and what I try to present with Everybody Skates is a little bit different than what I try to present for my footwear brand, which is Savali.
Right.
And the services I provide, I mean, it's give and take depending on what, clients I'm working with. Mm-hmm. A lot of times sometimes it's me basically bringing their vision to life. It's much less about my creative vision than it is my execution and me contributing what I know to what I'm doing to help, bring someone else's creative vision to life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless the project entails me kind of, hey, it's a blue sky project. You can do whatever it is that you want or whatever. So, they all quite naturally like operate differently individually.
Okay. That makes sense. So, that's a lot of work running three businesses.
It is.
And
you damn well better love what you're doing.
Yeah, I bet. What do you do? I imagine you love what you're doing, but some days you may not love what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's so gonna
be the case with everything.
Yeah, of course. So when that happens, what do you do to kind of tap back into, whatever that motivation or that passion is?
I mean, for me, believe it or not, I mean, it's hard. Like, designing graphics are harder than shoes. Like, to me, I have I have a gazillion. I'm one of those dudes that just habitually is off to the corner, kind of sketching ideas and stuff. Anyways and stuff. So through the past 25 years of doing that, I have such a wealth of different ideas. And the process of designing shoes obviously is a little different than designing graphics and stuff. Sometimes it's inspired by a certain silhouette. Sometimes it's inspired by certain colorway configuration that you might have seen, or through architecture, through someone's color palette, fashion or whatever. I lost my train of thought.
I was just saying, is there something you do to kind of recharge or tap back into it when things are going the wrong way?
I think that the awesome thing about the internet is that, you can explore on that thing endlessly to kind of reboot any kind of creative juices or whatever. So between that, which is a huge resource to any designer, and just kind of getting out, getting out and about, going for a little walk or going to the skate park, having conversations and stuff like that to reboot kind of helps.
You still go out and skate?
Not as much as I'd like to, but I do every once in a while. And when I do, it's usually at this local park called Prince Park here in Oceanside. That's about 10 minutes away or so. My 13-year-old has shown some interest in skateboarding. So I have a skate buddy to kind of skate with every once in a while now. So that's been cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm kind of battling a little injury with my left side of my knee that I'm kind of in the middle of addressing right now. And so that's kind of limited what I've been able to do cruise around every once in a while.
Yeah. You talked about a 13-year-old, right? And that experience is pretty far away from yours when you started skating, just in terms of like the aesthetics, the culture, as we were talking about earlier. Right now it's mainstream, it's everywhere. So how conscious of that are you when you're designing, or how do you tap into like where the culture is now as opposed to those things that were shaping your perspective?
I kind of start almost every design with my perspective in mind to some degree, know what I mean? And kind of, from there. And I think that's kind of the other thing about Savali too. It's much, not to sound too selfish, but it's much about some of the ideas that I have that I feel I can, I could present in such a way that's going to appeal to the, contemporary market. Mm-hmm. But it selfishly kind of starts with some of the things that I think have been cool historically. Sure. And that's, that's basically what is been shaping the brand, that and just input and suggestions, that I hear that I feel it might be valid through people that I
consult with. That's a much more, honest approach than the market research and trying to guess where the market is or is going to be in 6 months or, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
What's been, you've done so much work for other people and have all this experience as a designer. What's been harder than you expected about running your own brands?
Oh man, there's so much to think about. It's beyond just here. I got a cool design. Let it sell off the shelf now.
Sure.
There's a lot of moving parts and stuff to it. Initially, I think with Everybody Skates, I didn't give myself enough credit for being able to figure out the things I didn't know. And so, I was partnering up with people and it didn't end up working out and stuff. And so once I kind of started giving myself more credit, me and my wife and I run the business, and I have to, I'd be remiss if I don't, mention my wife, because she is a big part of what makes things work here on the Everybody Skates side. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, and we were all starting from scratch, kind of trying to understand and learn a lot of things that we didn't know about, operating a business, and just a lot of research. I think that we live in an age where information is just right at our fingertips. You know what I mean? So it's like whatever it is that you don't know, you can, you know, spend a little bit of time researching and you'll get a clear understanding of it, as to where us, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s kids, like, sure, you really wanted to know something about something, you'd have to hop on the bus, go to the library, so on and so forth. And so, you know, it's definitely an awesome tool, you know what I mean, to be able to, you know, dig in your back pocket, grab your phone, and, you know, Google this, Google that, or whatever. And so that's been really helpful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, the help that I was employing, that's kind of all that they were doing anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, that negative the work ethic, I guess. You know what I mean? So sure. Yeah, it's just basically kind of giving yourself more credit to be able to figure out the things that you don't know, and, you know, taking baby steps. Fortunately for me, everybody skates, and everything that I'm doing with it is just, it's purposefully small and at my own pace. You know what I mean? Like I said, it really operates like an artist project, you know what I'm saying? And so I might have something new this week. I might not, you know what I'm saying? If the inspiration, you know, hits me, then I'll come up with something, you know, something new. If not, then I still, you know, maintain my visibility on the platform by, you know, posting stuff that I've done in the past, or, you know, reintroducing something that might have been a classic in the past. You know, I've been operating Everybody Skates now for the past, you know, 5 years. And, you know, fortunately, you know, for that and the process, is I've had, you know, 5 years worth of graphics that, you know, that are classics and people like, and so I'll, you know, reintroduce some of the oldies but goodies, and the kids, they love it.
Yeah, I bet. So you talk about partnering with your wife, and is it James?
Oh, so me and my wife, that's Everybody Skates.
Right.
As far as Savali goes, yeah, my partnership, my partner in that is James.
Got it. So, what makes you, what do you do to be a good partner? Especially with your wife. I mean, that's a partnership which can probably either work really well, or, you know, have big repercussions if it doesn't.
Right. I mean, how do we make it work out?
Yeah.
It starts with a good, solid relationship. And I think we've always had that. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's communicating, and it's playing, you know, it's playing our parts. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm the creative person. I have my sets of responsibilities and duties, coming up with the ideas, executing on the designs, you know, posting and marketing and stuff like that. And, you know, she's more of the organizational, you know, aspects of it. She, you know, makes sure that whatever, tees and stuff that we need, you know, those are ordered, and, you know, she handles the, you know, the relationships with the printers, and, you know, and packaging and shipping and all that stuff. And so, you know, there's a clear understanding of the daily operation, and we just play our roles. Same thing with Savali. You know what I mean? It's really, really kind of just a two-man crew, you know, on the daily operations, myself and James. And, you know, between us two, you know, all of the designs get done, the marketing, you know, gets done, and, you know, the production and you know, managing the production and all that stuff gets done between, you know, just basically us two. Or actually, we have a third person, you know, that works remotely out of Seattle by the name of Ivy, that helps us as well. But it's, you know, it's lean and mean, you know, and it's us figuring things out together and just, you know, playing our roles.
Hey, if you're enjoying this one and you want to go deeper into the skate world, let's go back in the Rebel Radio archives. Check out my interview from last year with Persuay. Persuay was a great designer as well from a bunch of skate companies, including DC, and is the creator of Bunny Kitty, and has created his own brand and business around his art. So you might like that one too. Are you thinking just about where skate culture is heading? Are there young skaters that you're watching that inspire you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just kind of like when I was a little kid and I was figuring out what boards to buy. It's like, whether you know it or not, like back in those days, it's like I like skateboarding. I feel like it's so evolved now and everyone's done just about everything. And so, mm-hmm. with that says, it becomes about more than just the trick being done. It's the person that's doing it. I'm kind of drawn to like the personality, you know what I mean? Okay. Kind of like the holistic approach of like what makes an awesome skateboarder. You know what I'm saying?
So like, it's like, give me an example, like who's somebody that story you're following?
Oh, did I lose you? Oh, let me see. Like, okay. I like Ashot, right? Not only is he dope, but it's just like the way, it just seems like everything that he's doing is so spontaneous. And then, you know, just even his personality is kind of really spontaneous. And, you know, you've been able to get good glimpses of his personality through different videos and the way that he, and the stuff that he posts and stuff. And that's really cool, mm-hmm. as well. Other artists, who's the, let me think. There's other skaters like Caballero still really inspires me, right? Mm. Like that's, you know, someone that's been doing it forever, but it's like, mm-hmm. Holistically, it's like, I really love the fact that he's just a, you know, not only an awesome skateboarder, but it's like, I'm also connecting with him on the level of like, you know, being an artist and stuff like that. And, you know, and although I'm not a motocross guy, just the fact that he does it, sure. and, you know, it intrigues me. It's all those little elements, you know what I mean? I feel like that, you know, that intrigues me about, you know, a skateboarder. It's like, becomes not just about the trick, but the personality, I guess, behind the trick, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Whether it's consciously at first, like when you're younger, or subconsciously when you're younger or consciously now, like when you kind of think like, what is so awesome about that guy? What makes him dope, you know, in my mind? And it's these other elements, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I've been skateboarding for, you know, damn near the 35 years. And so I've seen most of it,
sure.
you know?
Yeah, of course.
And so it's a combination of a few different things. Like, I guess if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to get to a little lightning round before I let you go. So let's do that. What's your favorite city to travel to?
You know, I think for some reason, New York is on my mind. You know, I mean, I love how densely packed it is. And like every time, you know, I've been to New York, you know, a handful of times, and you never, ever really get to see all of New York. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
There's just so much to discover about it. So, you know, if you're a person that likes to discover new things and, you know, be around, you know, exciting energy and creativity and, you know, that type of stuff, I think New York is the spot.
I agree. And I, it's funny you say, like, you know, a few years ago, I started staying in different parts of the city,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I stayed in the Upper West Side, Upper East Side, you know, Brooklyn, just kind of moving around my hotels, and uh-huh. And you have a totally different experience of the city, and I think, like, most cities, it's hard to do that, because they don't, you know, all the hotels are downtown or whatever. I guess now we can do it with Airbnb.
Right.
But, right. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. that's great. What, part B, what's your favorite city to skate in?
My favorite city to skate in? Ooh, okay. Vancouver pops to mind. My nice. Memories of Vancouver. It's been a while since I've skated there, but I mean, between all of the awesome, you know, downtown skate spots and the, you know, the scenery there, and then, you know, it happened to be a pretty awesome place for skate parks too. The last time I visited.
Nice.
So yeah, I would say Vancouver pops to mind.
That's cool. Who's your favorite DJ?
That's a good question. Like I said, these answers can change depending on when you ask them to me, but right now what pops in my mind, because I've been on a little, Cash Money Millionaires kick, Manny Fresh.
Okay.
Cool. I've also kind of historically been a long time Gangstar fan, so DJ Premier.
Nice. Two great ones for sure. Mm-hmm. What's the last great book you read?
Not a big book reader, man, if I could be perfectly honest with you, but the last book I read was a Michael Jordan, one of Michael Jordan's books. I don't have it quite here right now. So that was one of the books that I finished, and it was a while ago, so I don't remember the details. But
nice.
I love audiobooks because I'm always at home working.
Yeah. You know, me too. I'm all about the audiobooks. Yeah. And Jordan, you know, obviously great icon, not only for sports but for shoes, sneakers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very
yeah.
relevant to you. I just read a great article about the, you know, about how I think it was titled like Nike Mastered the Art of Storytelling, and it was mm-hmm. about the inspiration that they brought into, you know, all the different shoe designs from Tinker and some of the other designers. Uh-huh. It's very similar to a lot of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What movie do you think you've seen the most in your life?
What movie do I think I've seen the most in my life? That would have to be the movie Friday. I mean, for a period of time, it was like, you know, we were watching that every day, and it kind of, you know, it started off with, I mean, when I first started smoking weed, I don't know if I can tell this story. It's pretty funny how, whatever, it is what it is, but. A buddy of mine by the name of Bucky Lassick used to come into town and come and visit me from Baltimore. Mm. And we would spend fucking every night watching Friday and smoking and laughing like it was the first time every time we watched it.
I'm sure.
And I probably watched that about a good 50 times.
Nice. It's a great
classic
movie. Yeah, for classic, sure.
Classic, for sure.
Name someone you haven't met who has taught you the most.
Someone that I haven't met that who has taught me the most. Good question. That is a great question. Someone that I haven't met. I guess I mean, being that I'm in footwear, maybe Tinker Hatfield.
Okay.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what I've learned from him, like, verbally, but I mean, just kind of, you know, identifying with what he's meant to the culture and, you know, of you know, footwear and some of his, you know, trying to analyze some of his design language, maybe possibly.
Sure. But dude, man, this is such a great conversation. I appreciate you making time for this.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I'd love to have you back anytime. Hopefully we can do it in person one of these days.
Sweet.
I definitely want to encourage everybody to check out Everybody Skates and Savali Shoes. Get your pre-orders in for Savali, because I know everything is limited and sells out quickly.
Yep.
Dude, thanks for doing this. Hey, that was Alfonso Rawls on Rebel Radio. I hope you liked it. I know I did. Make sure you check out Everybody Skates online. Get you some Savali sneakers. They are dope. I'm wearing a pair right now, and I'm really happy that I am. Make sure you're following us on the Stereo app. It's stereo.com/rebelradionet. You'll get notifications about when our live mentoring sessions are going. They're going to start next week, and they're going to happen pretty rapid fire, so you're definitely going to want to know about them. stereo.com/rebelradionet.